Welcome to the Homeschool Unlocked podcast, the show that helps parents see homeschooling as a unique opportunity. So forget fear. You can inspire. You can guide your child. Homeschool Unlocked. It's not school, it's life.
Well, good day, Homeschool Unlocked. This is Jesus Aviles. I am joined with my lovely wife,
Monica.
Monica Aviles, she is the queen. And just to give you a little understanding of who you're talking to, right? You have my queen and I. Monica's been homeschooling our multiple kids for the past 20 years. I myself have worked in the public school system as a school psychologist and a school site administrator for about 18, 20 years, and I'm currently a youth pastor. This gives us a great opportunity to get behind this mic and send some love to the homeschool community. And so, my love, you want to kind of just summarize what we did the last two episodes? Oh, you know what? I got a joke.
Okay.
I got a joke.
Okay.
Right? This is homeschool, right?
This is homeschool.
So this is one. This is one where, you know, a teacher would appreciate it. Are you ready?
Yes.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Spell.
Spell who?
W-H-O. You like that?
I like it.
You like that? So for all my phonics-loving people, there you go. W-H-O. That's how you spell who.
Well, that wouldn't be phonics. I think that's a sight word. But anyways.
That's why you get paid the big bills, my love.
All right. Well, and I do want to say we have graduated our oldest too, and yet we still have a seven-year-old at home. So we understand the different stages of just raising kids, and we are glad to share what we've learned with you so that you can enjoy homeschooling even more than we have. We have been talking about isolation and also loneliness, and we came at it from the thinking that this is about caring. And so we started with being aware of any things that would be out of the normal, right? As humans, we are very much creatures of pattern, and patterns, they may be good or bad, but we have them. When a pattern shifts, you want to be aware. That might be a signal that, hey, there's something that needs a little bit of attention. You want to go into it remembering to pray. God Almighty is saying, hey, you can use my strength. I'll trade you. Then we start with prayer. Oh, hey, God, thank you. I trade you my strength for yours. And also, the next thing would be listening. We go in listening. Even God, Jesus, when he was down here walking with us, and even God just in the garden, I mean, he starts with listening.
We were at the point last episode where we were talking about Jesus and just relating to either the kid you're speaking to or to the community that you're involved in, that Jesus does pursue the lost, the marginalized, the outcast, those that feel lonely, those that feel helpless, that feel hopeless, right? So Jesus pursued that. And I think that's where we ended up last episode. And so if I can continue with that thought, being on step number four, which is giving them this living hope, which is Jesus, it's also helpful to talk about the Holy Spirit with your kids, right?
Amen.
There are situations where the kid cannot articulate their need. And not only may they not be able to articulate it due to age, right? They may not have the words, but they just may be in a state where, you know what, there are times when it's just difficult to come up with words. And so it's super important when you share with them Romans 8:26, right? And all the scripture verses around that, where the spirit even understands your groans. That whole concept of just sitting there in silence or just simply groaning, the spirit understands that. The spirit can do something with that. And so, you know, I had one of the attendees kind of come up to me, just share that, you know, she's dealing with a kid that's either having some learning disabilities or some language disabilities or might even be in the spectrum. Just the concept of they have a tough time verbally communicating. And I was like, man, you know how many ways you can possibly communicate something? So I said, you know, these kids, maybe they can't use words to describe what they're feeling, but maybe they can draw it. Maybe they can dance it. Maybe they can point to it. But they can definitely communicate it. And even if it can't be communicated in the traditional sense of words, right? Because mm-hmm. you may be talking to a little kid.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You know, draw what you feel. Use the right colors. Use the combinations. And you let them draw it out. And you'll get to see movement. You'll get to see, you know, you'll get to see pressure, right? Because a crayon, where it's like you grip it like a death grip and you're coloring it, is very different than one that you grab with two fingers, right? So all of a sudden, you know, using color, using nonverbals, kids can communicate with themselves. But in these situations, right, in this particular scripture verse that I shared in Romans 8:26, no form of communication is needed. In silence or even in groaning, the Spirit understands. And so you can rest in that as a parent. You can rest in that as a kid when you tell the kid that.
Yeah, I definitely think when we talk about the terrible twos, this is my unofficial, well, this is my official, but not necessarily scientifically backed, opinion, is when they're going and they're now 2 years old, they're more aware. They have a lot of things that they want to express, but the language isn't there. And so sometimes those little temper tantrums are related to that. They're wanting to communicate something and don't have the words. So sometimes, you know, as a parent, you might teach them sign language. There's other ways that you can help them express themselves. It made me think of the terrible twos.
And you know what? Just a little sidebar. You know, those moments when kids are displaying inappropriate behavior, I think other people from the outside may say, wow, look at that bad kid. But what you, how you need to think of these bad or these inappropriate behaviors is this is a kid that's engaging in an inappropriate behavior, trying to communicate something. And all you're trying to do is be super patient, be super loving, just like Jesus is super kind and super loving and super patient with you, as you figure out what you want to bring to the table, right? So all of a sudden, you're going to be exercising all these gifts that you've seen Jesus give to you. You're exercising it with your kid. And so, yeah, so these are just inappropriate ways of communicating a need, right? The grunts, the groans, the temper tantrums, right? Just like when they're a baby and they don't have any words. This is a kid trying to communicate something to you and don't know quite how to do it. And so you need to look at this isolation as yet another behavior, inappropriate, right? If it's gotten to being maladaptive and all that, where, okay, they're trying to communicate something. How can we help them communicate it better or address the issue better? The concept of loneliness, whether they're thinking about it or feeling it, okay, great. They find themselves in this situation and you're going to use Jesus to walk them out of it. But at the same time, you got to figure out, you know, what was the purpose of it? And this is just an inappropriate way of achieving whatever it is, right? Just going to equip them with a more appropriate, biblical, godly way, right? So again, I don't know how to read. You got two ways to address that issue. You can throw the book at the teacher and she'll kick you out of class. That'll be one way to not read, right? You're not in the class. Here's another way. How about you raise your hand or you give some sort of visual cue that tells the teacher, this isn't the right time to ask me that question.
But we're not in the classroom, so we're not necessarily going to see that. But what you might see are two siblings sitting at the dinner table doing some work, and the sibling that wants to get out of the work will maybe jab the other sibling or spill the milk or something like that. You're not going to see this the same way in the classroom setting, but you're going to see these behaviors because the point is to get out of the situation.
Yeah. I mean, listen. Yes, you're going to have to go into a little bit. Every behavior serves a function. Your job as the investigating beautiful parent is find out why is this behavior being engaged? Why is it that in these particular tasks, your kid figures out a way, either one, to get out of it or to force you to get him out of it, right? And so all of a sudden, when you pick up these patterns, you realize, there's something there. And then you just need to figure out what is it the kid's trying to communicate and give them a better way to do it, right? Anyway, I'll make that a different episode, a little behavior modification episode.
And we have talked about it before.
Yes, we have.
You know, thought your example was great, but not necessarily what you'd see in the homeschool.
Correct. So we just finished talking about Jesus being the answer, right? How Jesus, step four, pursues those. And step number five, in terms of this isolation challenge, it involved maybe directing kids toward a genuine community, right? A genuine community of care, right? Because that's what kind of we placed it in. And I kind of told those that were in attendance at the conference, it may be as simple as pointing to your church, say, hey, come here, or pointing to a church, right? This is a setting that should be structured, ready to receive any and all kids, to give them love, to show them patience, to exercise all kind of grace, right? But I kind of challenged them to maybe take another step. Instead of grabbing the kid and bringing the kid to your place, let's just pretend that's what we did. How about we help the family as a whole, that whole unit? We should help the family wrap itself around the kid, right? That's one level of help. I also said it's possible to get the family itself. Again, we're the kids, we're aware of a kid issue, but bringing the family in together with the church.
Yeah.
Right? So all of a sudden, you have that orange philosophy, mm-hmm. right? If you're interested in it, just type up orange philosophy. And the idea being the home is red where all the love is. And the church is yellow where all the light is. And yellow and red make?
Orange.
Orange. This is where it comes in from. So you could, okay. you can look that kind of stuff up. You know, several different churches use that as their children's or youth ministry program. But that's a wonderful opportunity. I want to send out a shout out to Pastor Tommy Hendricks, who directed me toward that. Right. I always want to shout out your sources. And so we have that particular one. I think another one is, and this is one, if you don't mind talking yeah. about it, my love.
Tell me.
You know how we can provide our kid with a genuine, caring community? We can help our kids make smart choices on who they become friends with.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we often as parents, when we're holding our little baby and we're loving on them and we're looking at them and thinking, one day you're going to grow up and you're going to be getting married and then you'll be a parent. Way before that happens, there's this very long period where they're going to have friends. And we want to pray for their friends. And we want to pray for the friendships that they're going to have, because those are very important relationships. You know, we should be aware of who they're hanging out with. You know, sometimes as we want to be the home where they feel comfortable talking and hanging out at. We want to be the parent that's even driving kids around, because when the kids are in the car and they're talking, you're able to get a sense of what's happening and the relationships that they're forming. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously at the younger ages, you can kind of direct who these kids are that surround your kid. But as they get older, we equip them along the way to make good decisions tied to that, right?
And it's not that we're ever fully in control of it, but certainly, certainly the more, you know, every time we allow somebody else to take over something, we are also releasing a certain amount or delegating a certain amount of authority away. And so when you're in the school setting, it's a little tougher, we understand that, to know the kids, and then even tougher to get to know the families of the children that your kids are hanging out with. So one of the things in the homeschool setting is that you are able mm-hmm. to get together and connect with other families who are also homeschooling, because there's usually an idea there of it's not so much about just the specific age that you have, but you end up as families often hanging out together in groups, right?
Yeah, and again, we go back to Homeschool Unlocked, us understanding homeschool to be a season. Sometimes a very, very necessary season. And sometimes, as we say often, an experience that you just have to have, right? And so we have plenty of God-fearing, loving families that have homeschooled for a very long season. And they have transitioned at times to putting them in different settings. But that time that they had these children and educated them and trained them to make discerning and wise decisions, especially about friends, man, everybody benefits from that. You know, the community, future employers, future spouses, everybody benefits from that. So just super important to continue to build a kid. And I think the last item tied to step five is creating this community, is kind of really having a nice conversation with the kid about the role and function of this church, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The church being a place where there's a combination of diversity and unity, right? Most of these kids that are either isolating themselves or are experiencing this loneliness really don't understand how they can fit in. And the church being like, oh, that's where like all the people that have it right are at, mm-hmm. like all the good kids. Mm-hmm. And it's nice when you open up that Bible. And I think I particularly put, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verses 12 to 27, really talks about the church being using that whole human body illustration. Mm-hmm. You know, you mm-hmm. got pinkies in there, you got toes, you got arms. You know, obviously Jesus is the head, right? But when you're okay. talking to a kid mm-hmm. that's isolating themselves, but then you speak to them how you have to be one body.
Mm, I get it. Yeah.
Right? You have to be one body, and the church is a place that really illustrates that. Your family is a place that really illustrates that. Building those two communities well really services the kid.
Yes, and we just want to remind you that this is not on your shoulders. Even as you are laboring, remember that the Lord's yoke is easy and light, and that you're doing this in the strength that He gives you, because you want the best for your children, but he wants the best even more. You're not alone on this journey as a parent. You are, investing in your children. I mean, the most precious thing is the attention and that you spend, that time that you spend with your kids. Whatever time that you spend any place, you don't get it back, right? Whatever time that you are there, make sure that even in the smallest ways, you are fully present and enjoying. And other parents also can benefit from hearing this message. So
here's the challenge, beautiful people. And I give you this challenge with all the love I can possibly give. I want you to select an episode. And we have produced somewhere close to 60 different episodes, right? I want you to grab an episode for today, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I want you to send an episode, that one episode or three different episodes. And I want each of those 3 days for you to send an episode to a parent. To a parent of a kid, not a homeschooling kid, right? Because our idea is we want to begin to reach parents where this is not on their radar. They don't see this as a bucket list item. They don't see homeschooling as an opportunity, as a season, right? Some of them are like, oh, if I start homeschooling, I can never go back. Listen, that's not true. So here's the challenge. Today's Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday, the next day is Friday. For those 3 days, I want you to send one episode to one non-homeschooling family or one non-homeschooling parent.
And that's great, because then when, you know, you need something, you have parents who have listened to this episode and they're going to be able to help you and your family and your kid, because we are homeschooling and we always benefit when we have other great families helping us along the way. So have a wonderful week. We love you guys. See you next Wednesday.
Love you guys. Peace.
Mic check, mic check.
Check the mic. Check the mic.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Check out our link below and subscribe to our podcast. We hope that we helped you by unlocking a new way of seeing homeschooling. Who else needs to hear this? Only you know. So take action and share it. Because remember, homeschool unlocked. It's not school, it's life.